Next on Light on the Hill, we hear about a coming surprise attack on Israel in these last days.
I have found that peace only comes from you. I have found that joy only comes from you. 'Cause all I need is you.
Thanks for joining us today for Light on the Hill. Pastor James Cadiz will begin shortly, and today he'll be giving us a prophecy update with Ezekiel chapter 38 in view. You may recall this section of scripture describes a multi-country surprise attack upon Israel. Yes, Israel will be surprised, and you'll hear about her condition prior to this invasion momentarily. Pastor James will also tell us about the key players involved in this invasion, which I'm sure you'll find interesting.
So let's read some of Ezekiel 38 so that you can understand where I'm coming from here. And for those of you that are in our radio audience, I know you just listened to these passages being taught, so I'm not going to go over everything in these passages, but I'm going to read some sections very significant here to us and important so that we can kind of explain everything. Okay, so Ezekiel chapter 38, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even with a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all the bands of the house of Togarma, of the north quarters, and all the bands and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." So it's interesting. We know that there is going to be a significant attack according to Ezekiel. And this is a very, very important thing to actually note, because according to Ezekiel, what we know is that there will be multiple nations that will actually attack Israel, okay? And if you're looking at the map that I'm actually showing you, we're going to talk about some of these nations here pretty quickly, because they are important and they are significant nations to be having a conversation about. But one of the things before we talk about some of these nations is to understand, when we talk about Gog, Gog really is a man, right? Gog is the leader of Magog. So I actually think that we're talking about the leader of Russia, whoever he might be, is going to be the one that actually organizes all of this attack. By the way, I don't think it's a coincidence that Putin has become very, very friendly with Turkey. He's become very, very friendly with Iran. He's become close to Syria because he's been using Syria as a proxy for the location of all of these people meeting, right? There's a civil war in Libya in which half of the people on one side of the civil war are being funded by Russia, so that Russia potentially will have control over Libya. That's not a surprise. I think that that shouldn't be a shocking thing. Libya has always hated Israel. So in reality, even if the civil war doesn't pan out where Russia now has control over Libya, it's very, very believable that Libya is going to be one of the attacking nations, right? So we're looking at some of these nations that are going to be attacking. We know it'll be Libya. We know it'll be Sudan. We know that it'll be Ethiopia. We know that it'll be Turkey. We know that it'll be Iran. We know that it will be Russia. We know that there will be a certain level of conglomerate of Middle Eastern nations that will also join in the attack in Ezekiel. But here's the thing that oftentimes people miss when they go over Ezekiel chapter 38. And this is an important fact that we cannot miss, but look at the detail of what we read when we read in Ezekiel 38, right? He talks about the fact We'll start in verse 9. He's talking about safely. He says, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land and all thy bands and many people with thee. In other words, it's going to be an overwhelming attack. It is going to be used, met with overwhelming force, and they are going to basically attack Israel. And it's going to be a surprise attack to Israel, right? It really is. Israel is not going to be expecting this. Why? Because they are going to be at peace with everybody around them. They are going to have unfenced cities, which implies the fact that they are going to let their guards down because they are going to be in a place of sincerely economic prosperity, right? They're going to have that. Now, we already know that that's happening already in Israel. It's beginning to take place. The security mechanisms that exist within Israel are not the traditional mechanisms that you would normally see. It's not the type of fences that you would necessarily see back in the 60s. And in the time of the 67 war, what you're actually seeing in Israel now is sort of an invisible covering, right? Things like the Iron Dome system and so on and so forth. There are different ways that they are defending their borders from within their actual town, right? Of course, they have significant borders put up, walls and so on and so forth, at the borders of the actual country. But when we're talking about certain portions of the country on the inside that used to be divided up by fences and brick walls and so on and so forth, that's not the case anymore. And by the way, that's more and more and more becoming the case. They're more and more lifting those things off because relationships are beginning to normalize from within the country, and it's becoming very prosperous. Number one exporter of fruit in that half of the world right now, Israel. The number one leaders in technology all over the world right now, Israel, right? And not just, we're not just talking about computer technology. We're not just talking about, you know, other forms of technology that you would think of right away when you hear the word technology. We're also talking about medical technology. Israel is developing a new type of medical technology. Stand by for this, guys. It's pretty incredible. Where they're developing printers, okay? When we talk about printers, we're talking about 3D printers that are printing out medication. I'm not kidding. They're printing out medication. They're printing out tools that can be used in your home as you are having a doctor's visit while the doctor is controlling your printer. No joke. So it's not like you can go into the printer and hack away in it and have your medicine made up or whatever it is. No, that's not the case. This thing is a secure unit that stays in your home and it gets produced. Whatever you need gets produced at the command of the doctor that's actually seeing you. That's the kind of stuff that's going on. And by the way, I would have said that was science fiction, and I actually would have said that was a fake. There's no way that kind of thing is happening had I not heard it right out of the mouth. And you can see the interview that I had, and he talked about this a little bit behind the scenes as well. Had I not had an interview with the highest ranking Israeli diplomat in the United States right now, Dr. Hillel Neumann, he sat down and he explained all of this, and it's unbelievable. They are the number one leaders in technology. They are the people that are at the top of their game, okay? They are beyond energy independent now in the sense that they have mastered how to handle water problems that are prominent all over the Middle East. They're the only ones that know how to do it. They have systems that irrigate their all of their crop that is unlike anything we're doing anywhere in the world, how they're utilizing all of that stuff. Their military technology is actually increasing. Israel is becoming less and less dependent upon the United States for their military technology and is actually buying fighter jets from the U.S. and other materials from the U.S. and then heavily modifying them themselves to be able to do things that are unbelievable. They even have nuclear technology that we presumably might not even have, right? They have what they call tennis ball nuclear technology, where they have nuclear weapons that are the size of a tennis ball that can be shot over the shoulder of a IDF soldier, right, at a particular target that would have just horribly, horribly, horribly aggressive and destructive consequences. There's all kinds of things that they're doing right now that's unbelievable. And because of all of that, because of the prosperity that they're experiencing in doing all of this, it's creating economic stability, and it's also creating a tremendous amount of security amongst them. Now, by the way, when you read the rest of Ezekiel or the next portion of Ezekiel that I'm about to read, you'd be mind blown because you'll recognize something pretty significant. We'll go over this map here in just a moment. But notice this. Oh, and by the way, for those of you that are listening on the radio, you can go to Calvary Chapel Signal Hill's YouTube site. You can go to youtube.com, I think it's / Calvary Chapel Signal Hill, and you can download this video, and I've got all of these clips that's actually showing up on that video, and I think that you guys will be blessed as you take a peek at some of the visual aids that I'm actually throwing your way. So, look what it says in verse 10. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, that same day..." Thus saith the Lord God, "It shall come to pass that at that same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought." Of course, referring to the attackers of Israel, right? He's saying you're going to have an evil thought. "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land," notice this, guys, "of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take spoil and to take prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land." By the way, it is very interesting to think about this. What he's describing is a nation that assembles itself back together from all corners of the world, which that is still what's happening right now in Israel. By the way, it happened back in the day, and it's continuing to happen right now. There are lots of military operations that continue in Israel in order to bring its Jews back to Israel, right? They are very aggressive about this. There are many operations that they've had in the past that are notable. One of the most notable of those operations is what they call Operation Solomon. If you don't know what the story of that is, that was when Israel overnight basically brought in thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Ethiopian Jews. They took their El Al airplanes and they completely gutted them out. They pulled all the seats out of the airplanes. They pulled everything out so they could get a bunch of people in there, and they landed their planes into Ethiopia. They flew under the radar. They were escorted by fighters, right, the whole way through, and they landed, which, by the way, I actually got to talk to several people who were part of that operation on, I think it was in my trip to Israel in 2005, who were actually on the airbase when that took, was it 2005? No, I think it was a more recent trip than that. Anyway, when we were on the airbase, and I got to talk to some of the young pilots that actually flew those missions and put thousands of people in these airplanes. So they went, they landed in Ethiopia at a secret location. They had all these Ethiopian Jews coming to these airplanes, and they flew them out kind of under the radar, literally under the radar capability, and they flew them into Israel, and thousands of Ethiopian Jews came into the country. By the way, there have been very similar operations like that between Russian Jews, Egyptian Jews, European Jews, Eastern European Jews, Western European Jews, all over the African continent, all over the Asian continent. They've been doing this, and the nation has been growing substantially, and they've been gathered from everywhere. And the other thing that we're beginning to see happen right now, because this is the condition that Ezekiel chapter 38 says that Israel is going to be in, is we're watching Israel becoming a very peaceful nation, aren't we? Look, the only reason why we haven't gone to Israel in recent days is because of all of this coronavirus nonsense, right? But truth be told, here's the reality of Israel, something that a lot of people don't understand and maybe don't recognize. And this is a very, very, very important fact, very easy one to miss because of all the fake news and all the lies that the media is saying. But you are much safer in downtown Jerusalem than you will ever be in downtown Los Angeles or downtown Long Beach, for that matter. Okay? I'm serious. I'm not messing around, because the security in Israel is so much more significant. And perhaps what's even more interesting with what's going on with the security in Israel is Israel recognizes something that a lot of nations still haven't gotten, right? Israel recognizes something that a whole lot of people have still not been able to realize or recognize, and that is this fact. It is the fact that they have recognized that the more economically stable they become, that the more secure they will be as a nation. So they have been pursuing policies that encourage economic stability so much that their security is also beginning to increase. Case in point, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, many of the other Gulf nations that are surrounding them, they are at a very comfortable, restful level of peace with these nations because of the normalization agreements that have been signed with many of them, right? Saudi Arabia, of course, is going to be peaceful with Israel, and there's two reasons for that. Number one, the fact that they hate Iran, right, is a pretty good reason for them to be friends with Israel, right? Because they both have common enemies, But perhaps more importantly than that, they recognize that the only way to economic normalcy that exists is to create these agreements between these nations, because they are all benefiting from it substantially, right? For example, as you guys might know, there are certain airlines, and we know several of them in the Middle East, that are very good quality airlines that are actually subsidized by their governments, right? For example, Turkish Air is a great example of an airline that is subsidized by the Turkish government. That's why if you want a business class seat, which by the way, their business class is second to none other than Emirates, right? But if you want a business class seat, go buy Turkish Air because it's really, really cheap. But what's interesting is the reason why it's cheap right now is because it's subsidized by the Turkish government. You can actually buy a seat, get on pretty cheap. And then the whole idea is it's kind of like crack, you know, we get you addicted to it and then you'll just pay through the roof to be able to get into it right now. But what's even more interesting is when you look at, they're doing the same thing with Saudi Arabia. Emirates is an airline that is subsidized by the government or the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And if you've ever been on an Emirates flight, oh my goodness. Let me tell you something. You are rolling if you are in one of those flights. I'm telling you that there is no such thing as a low-class seat in an Arab Emirates flight. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to roll in a business class that is the most luxurious thing you've ever seen, go to Emirates. It is unbelievable. There is absolutely nothing like it. They are second to none. Now, why am I bringing all these things up? Because nations like Saudi Arabia will stop having to subsidize the airline industry that they are trying to promote if these normalization agreements are signed. Why? Well, because for the first time, Emirates is landing in Tel Aviv. Well, if Emirates is landing in Tel Aviv, guess what? That means all of us Americans that really want to go to Israel and visit, now we have other alternatives to fly into Israel. It's not just El Al anymore. We can fly other airlines, and going into these airlines, these airlines are very competitive. They're a lot better. A good old-fashioned competition is going to drive down prices, and everybody knows this now. If you want total security and you don't want to be worried about the airplane blowing up, well, then of course you fly El Al, because they get escorted by fighter jets in and out of the country on both ends. And I have flown El Al more times than I can remember, where I've looked out the window, and as we're approaching Tel Aviv, you can see the fighter jets, right? It's very, very common. You could hear them flying out of LAX. You know that they're around, but it's very, very interesting. And by the way, if you could actually catch the flight path of an El Al airplane, you might actually catch some of the fighter jets, which, by the way, is very, very interesting, are not flown by Israeli pilots. The fighter jets are actually flown by American pilots through an agreement signed between the U.S. and Israel for protecting their security. And what's even more interesting is you cannot see the fighter jets in United States airspace, because oftentimes they're flying at altitudes that are extraordinarily high, like 30,000 feet and so on and so forth. They're basically, in essence, air patrolling. Now, the last time that we know that that was happening in mainstream was at 9/11, when they were doing it for all the airplanes. And the only airplanes that were up in the air during that time were fighter jets that were actually patrolling the area, especially as they were beginning to land all these planes and kind of shut everything down. So, going back to what I'm talking about, the normalization agreements that exist between all of these nations are designed to benefit them mutually in an economic way. And the greatest beneficiary of all of these people has been Israel, because it also increases their security. If you're no longer worried about the people on your borders, well, then of course you're able to focus a lot more onto what's going on economically speaking. And the more you begin to improve and build economics, the better and more secure you're actually going to end up being, because everybody is experiencing mutual benefit. And so people, the radicals like Iran, I don't like to call them radicals, folks. I call them fundamentalists. There's a big difference. Radical is a foolish term. Fundamentalist is the better term. We are biblical fundamentalists, which means we believe in the fundamentals of the Bible, and we're driven by the fundamentals of the Bible. If you are an Islamic fundamentalist, you believe in the fundamentals of the Quran, which means you believe in death, destruction, the elimination of the Jewish state, and so on and so forth. It's kind of an important distinction for us to make. But one of the things that we have to understand with what Ezekiel chapter 38 is telling us is they are telling us that these nations are going to be attacking a country that does not expect the attack. So let's take a look at the African chart for just a second, because I want to show you guys a few things, right? Number one, I want to show you, if you could take a look at Egypt, right? You see where Egypt is? Well, to what will be to the west of Egypt, you actually see Libya, right? To the south of Egypt, you'll see the Sudan, right? Those are nations that are in contention. We know that Sudan is going to be a nation that's going to attack Israel. We know Libya is going to be a nation that's going to attack Israel. We know that Ethiopia is going to be a nation that attacks Israel. We know that Iran is going to attack Israel. We know that Turkey is going to attack Israel. We know that Russia is going to attack Israel, which, by the way, prior to 5 years ago, everybody and their mama called me crazy because I said things like that, because they could never see in a million years an alliance taking place with Turkey, which, by the way, at the time was relatively friendly with Israel, right? But they could not imagine Turkey getting so crazy that they would make alliances with Russia and begin to have many summits to be able to talk about things. Well, Turkey is not only doing that, but Turkey is actually poking around in areas in the Mediterranean that they're not supposed to be poking around in to actually seek to find oil, because they're claiming energy independence, but they're actually lying. They have tons of energy dependence, and that dependence is on, guess who? Russia. Right? And Russia's getting angry because the pipelines that need to be built across the land bridge in order for them to be able to deliver their oil to Israel or to Turkey has to also come from a different location, and that is Saudi Arabia. They've got some deals going on there, but that's not happening because China's getting involved. The geopolitical shift has already begun, and Russia is beginning to get angry. So is Turkey. They're all beginning to get angry. And what's beginning to happen in these surrounding nations, right? And you can take a look at most of them that are here on this African map. When you're talking about Sudan, when you're talking about Libya, when you're talking about Ethiopia, when you're beginning to talk about Russia, when you're talking about Turkey, when you're talking about all these surrounding nations, you know what they all have in common? They're beginning to die a slow death economically. Not only are they beginning to die a slow death economically, they are beginning to lack a tremendous amount of natural resources that they need. They are all beginning to lose their energy independence. Yes, folks, including Saudi Arabia, they may end up going down that road. I don't think they will, because of the decisions that they're making with respect to the shift that has happened with respect to who their alliances are. But truth be told, we are watching a significant amount of change going on all throughout this region, and all of it is pointing towards peace. All of it.
You're listening to Pastor James Cadiz on Light on the Hill and part two of our prophecy update. We thought it would be a good idea to review what's been taking place lately in the Middle East, which is closely tied into what we read about in Ezekiel. You can hear this again online at lightonthehillradio.com or through the Light on the Hill app. We also have a podcast available wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. Pastor James, as we continue to expand here at Light on the Hill, we should mention that we do look to our listeners to help support what we do. How can they get involved if the Lord's leading them to do so?
Yeah, Jane, thank you for the question. And I want to really reemphasize something that you mentioned here with respect to wanting to get involved. Really, this is open to only believers, right? If there's a non-believer that's listening to this, we really don't want you to give your money, because we don't want you to, you know, have the impression that by you giving your money, you're going to be making a difference with respect to your salvation. Your salvation is free, and it's a simple thing. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart. It's a very simple thing. There are no costs or giving tied to it. And for those of you that are Christians, of course, you understand that your giving is in between you and the Lord. It's an act of worship. And if you do feel led to give by the Lord, yes, we do rely on the Lord putting it upon people's hearts to give to this ministry, and we would be blessed if you did. And there's lots of different ways to get involved in doing so. You can go to CalvaryChapelSignalHill.com. You can go to Light on the Hill. Radio.com. And there's other places where you could get involved in giving. Like, if, for example, if you attend our live services, you can, of course, give that way. Or you could mail in a check to Calvary Chapel Signal Hill at 1200 East 29th Street, Signal Hill, California, 90755. Once again, that's 1200 East 29th Street, Signal Hill, California, 90755. No matter what it is or how you choose to give, we just want to say that we thank you. You know, we've had some donors give us an exorbitant amount of money, and we're so thankful for the Lord placing it upon their hearts. We don't know who gives. As the pastor of this church, I don't know who gives, but God does. And I do that on purpose so that I don't treat people differently. But we do want to thank you for your giving. And when you do it, it really blesses us, and we're so thankful for it. So may God richly bless you. And if God places it upon your heart, by all means, we would love to receive that which God has placed upon your heart. God bless you.
Again, to make a donation to this ministry, just visit lightonthehillradio.com. We'll finish up our prophecy update tomorrow on Light on the Hill with Pastor James Cadiz, a daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Signal Hill, made possible by your generosity.
I have found that peace only comes from you. I have found that joy only comes from you. 'Cause all I need is